Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scover, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome. We're interrupting our current creative placemaking series for segments related to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on artists and our arts community. And then we'll get back to our regularly scheduled arts discussions with a variety of diverse creatives that we know and some that we don't. This recording is our first half remote recording with me at the round table and Sarah E. as our remote guinea pig coming to you live via Zoom, which we hope will give us video. And I'm also recording our podcast audio just in case that's all we get. So the first thing we wanted to do today, well, first of all, Sarah E., welcome as our first official guinea pig guest.
Why, thank you, Alice. It's lovely to finally be able to see you.
I know. I've missed seeing your face, and we've been working on figuring out how to do this, and I'm really, really excited that I'm talking to a human, you know, yay. You know, it's really great. So I know it's important that we really reach out to each other in this time, and I'm just so grateful to have you in my life. So God bless you, and I'm happy that you're here with me, and I'm happy to be here too. So, which leads right into, we wanted to first discuss how this virus and everything that's going on in our world is impacting us personally and professionally. And I'll go first, and then you will go. So personally, I think people that know me in real life know that I've always had to kind of guard my environment and my physical exertions because I'm disabled in lots of ways. So this pandemic and not leaving my house is actually kind of normal for me. I've got chronic heart failure, which is a kind of scary way of saying your heart doesn't pump enough blood, and an aortic valve leak, tachycardia, incurable lung disease, chronic sinusitis, all kinds of other health issues, too many to list. The bottom line is I'm definitely in that higher risk group regarding this virus in particular. And it's really scary for me personally because, as I've talked with you before, you already know this, my normal everyday symptoms with all of those problems that I have are pretty much the things you're supposed to be on the lookout for with this virus. So, you know, congestion, sneezing, runny nose, postnasal drip, scratchy throat, aches and pains, constant cough, gloopy and dry, you know, achiness, fevers almost every day. I mean, the slightest increase in any one of those things, and I freak out thinking, oh my God, I've got the virus. So, but, you know, panic aside, I've been basically in lockdown for weeks now, and I wash my hands all the time. Every time I sneeze, blow my nose, cough, whatever. I wrote down a note that, you know, one day last week I tried to count how many times I wash my hands every day. And, you know, I get up early, usually around 4 o'clock in the morning. And by 7:30 in the morning that day, I gave up trying to keep track because it was already over 150 times. That just depressed the hell out of me. And I was like, I'm not counting anymore. I'm just washing my hands, you know. So now I'm just kind of in the mode where I'm trying not to panic every time I cough or sneeze or blow my nose, you know. I think I share some of the reaction with a lot of people, that, you know, I've gotten kind of sad thinking about, how I might not see my family for so very long because of all the estimates out there of 18 months before the curve flattens in the United States. It's certainly, you know, as you know, I normally would be taking care of my baby grandson right now. He just turned a year old last month, and we video chat every day at his dinner time, but it's just not the same, you know. So that sadness I was feeling about, you know, not being able to see my son and my daughter and my grandson and other family, it's kind of escalated into almost grieving. You know, I had this grieving feeling just thinking about the months of no physical contact to come, because it's, you know, it's very clear to me that this particular virus will always be a danger for me. So if they develop a vaccine, it will be something that I need to have annually or whatever the schedule that they determine, like the flu and pneumonia shots that I get every year. And so what I'm doing right now, I'm in kind of in this personal space in my head where I'm trying to accept the fact that I'm going to have to stay self-isolated until that as yet created vaccine is available to me. And that's, who knows how long that will be. So I really appreciate that you are willing to work with me remotely to continue all of our community education arts projects. And I'm excited about that. That's what I consider the professional me.
And if I may just do a PSA
yes.
here, everybody, the people who need us to stay at home are real. They're people like Alice. Stay
please,
at home to protect
please
Alice.
Stay at home. Yes, I got it. I should probably say that, you know, I live with my husband and we are staying as far apart in our own home as possible. He still goes to work. He in the grocery store, and he comes home. He puts his clothes in the washer. He takes a shower. He goes back to every doorknob and handle he touched and groceries, whatever, wipes them all down. I'm nowhere near any of that. I'm not in the kitchen when he's in the kitchen. You know, we are as segregated as possible in this, and it's all because of my health. And that we'll talk more about that, you know, probably off and on, but I think I'm not alone in a situation like that. I know a lot of people out there who are in the high-risk category. They might not live alone. They might live with children, family, husbands, wives, whatever, and we're all having to do that. So, yes, we thank you for staying home and flattening that curve. So, yeah. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of been interesting for me. Interesting is a weird word, but you know, trying to keep up with the stuff that we do with community education arts. All of this kind of happened almost right after we had our book launch for the Polk Street Review, which was great, and all that. But it seems like, you know, when this was first really hitting home that we were going to have to isolate and cancel events and do things more digitally, I really lost almost all my creative drive as an artist personally, and even working with community education arts events and things, my personal fears and worries just really paralyzed me. There's no other word for it. I was just like paralyzed. I was just creatively done. And I'm still working through all that, like I said, trying to create in drips and drabs and all that kind of stuff, but it is definitely a slow process. I think when all this happened, I was kind of already in a little bit of a dim place creatively, artistically, anyway. I've decided I don't really want to go into a lot of detail about that. Let's just say that, you know, things had happened that sort of caused me to take a step back and kind of think I need to process some of my own feelings and not submit to exhibits, which is actually fine right now because there's not a lot of exhibits going on. They're virtual ones, but you know. And then I was feeling really down about myself as an artist, though, professionally. And then out of the blue, right around that same time that all that was kind of crumping in on my head, I was invited to participate in a RAW showcase exhibit in Indy titled Glow, and that was originally scheduled for April 22nd at the Old National Center in Indy. And that was such a boost to my confidence because they reached out to me. They found my artwork online, you know, and they reached out to me. And I want to just highlight them for just a minute. Not a lot, but a little bit about RAW. It's a spot that RAW spotlights independent talent in visual art, film, fashion, and accessories design, music, performance art, beauty, craft, tech, photography, everything. Their website hosts global exhibits. They have an international team that works to plan, promote, and produce local, eclectic RAW showcase exhibits in over 70 cities around the globe. So, this means that they're hosting about 30 art showcases per month, featuring independent artists from communities all across the United States, Canada, Australia, Mexico, everywhere. So this was really exciting to me professionally to be invited to be a participant in one of those showcase exhibits. And you know, Sarah E., I hardly ever leave Noblesville. So to be invited to participate in an exhibit that was happening in Indy, you know, that's a big city for me. I was like, ooh, that's a big time. I was feeling really good. So that was great. It boosted my confidence. I was feeling really good. And then all this pandemic stuff happened. And now the GLOW exhibit has been tentatively rescheduled to July 22nd. We'll see if that happens. I'm taking that in my stride because I feel like it gives me more time to work on the pieces I want to exhibit. And, you know, I feel like, you know, they got to do the right thing. We all got to do the right thing. I probably won't be able to go to the exhibit, but maybe my husband will take my work and hang it for me. You know, we'll see. We'll have to see how that works out because, again, unless there's a vaccine available before July 22nd, I won't be there. So we'll see. But it was just one of the things I wanted to share with everybody, that sometimes out of the blue, you'll get some sort of a professional boost in confidence from a source you never even dreamed of. So that's just all I can say about them. Oh, I should give their website. It's rawartists.com. So rawartists.com. And go on their website and check them out. So over to you, Sarah E. Tell us about your personal and professional impacts with all of this virus stuff.
Sure. First off, congratulations.
Thank you. Let's hope it works out, you know.
Yeah, so like so many millions of people, I'm one of the people who is now working from home.
Oh, yeah.
And that has been an adjustment. I work for a museum, and while I think we are an essential service, in the terms of CDC, we are considered non-essential. And so, you sure. know, 80 to 90% of us are now working from home.
Wow.
So that's been an adjustment. There's perks. You know, I like to be able to have meetings in pajama bottoms. You know, that's
Yeah, great. That's great. Yeah.
You know, also making sure that you keep to some sort of, here's my normal schedule. You know,
yeah.
You can have in real life. And that, you know, making sure I have a scheduled meeting at 9 o'clock with real people where
yeah.
I at least am chatting with them live, if not seeing them face to face.
I gotta ask you a quick question. With that kind of attitude of trying to keep that schedule and keep your professional life going, I mean, that's very different for you because you've had that full-time job for so long. I being, you know, disabled and not really punching a clock for, you know, a while, years, I lose track of what day it is. Are you finding
yeah.
that? Are you having trouble? I mean, hours in the day, sure. Is it time to have breakfast? Is it time to have dinner? But the actual day of the week, I'm like, what day is it? I have to go look at my calendar. I mean, that's just crazy. Is that happening to you, or are you staying on track better?
A little bit. I am losing track of the days. Certain rituals that my husband and I have, like Wednesday night is always date night.
Uh-huh.
That kind of solid thing is definitely helping.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. There's other events that I know, like Tuesdays, I usually spend with you doing artistic.
I
events.
Know.
Like, no.
Yeah. We're gonna try to keep doing that. We're gonna try to keep our recording schedule and stuff like that. That'll help. But we also have, I guess, a little more flexibility with our recording schedule now, because we can both record interviews with other artistic people independently of each other and together. So I think we'll be able to work in a lot more recordings. But I do kind of look forward to our Tuesdays too. So maybe
right,
we'll
yeah.
maybe
I think that's a good example
yeah.
of, you know, not underestimating the importance of FaceTime, even
yes.
if it is virtual.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Oh man, I'm already perked up just seeing your face.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so keep telling us about more.
Sure. So I would say personally, it's been a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the perks of it are that, like my mother-in-law lives right next door, and so since we are anyway people who have to see her to do things like get groceries for her, you know, we are in her accepted like 10 people, you know, that
mm-hmm.
we've all chosen to limit it to a small group. And so I can do things like go over there for lunch on a work day, which I never would be able to do normally. So that's a lovely thing. But on the other side of the family, my dad's birthday just happened this week, and we had to do it over Zoom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a mixed bag.
Yeah.
You know, we made the most of it under the circumstances, but... You know,
it's not the same, I know, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And just since I work with kids, it feels so weird not to have a lot of kids around. Even
yeah.
when you go out grocery shopping, people are keeping their kids at home for the most part, which they should.
Yeah.
But just, you know, missing, hey, where's the young people? Now, for you work at home parents, you're probably getting too much kid time right now, so I apologize if I have just offended your sensibilities. So
you know, it's a, I think everybody's doing the best they can, and you miss your kids, and I think all the teachers that I know, you know, have experienced that too. They're all trying to, you know, connect with their kids, their students in their classes, you know, in all the kind of virtual online ways that they can, because unlike parents, you know, that's a time period that you're with those children in the classroom, or like you with the museum classroom, I mean, it's limited, and you miss them. And so I hope that everybody is able to take advantage of as many of the possibilities out there as, you know, as they can with the online stuff, like what we're doing. You know, you can connect with your students this way, I'm sure, hopefully, you know. And kids today are so much more savvy with electronical stuff. They're probably just ready to connect all the time, you know.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I got to do a Zoom with my intern yesterday, and I can definitely tell that she is way more ahead of the curve.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. So, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that the importance of making the time to go outside, even though we're observing social distancing, okay, go to the park, stay 6 feet away from people, but go to the park, walk, move, and being in nature and getting that stimulation makes me feel better psychologically. It also... being an introvert, I like to create by myself, but if I have no stimulation, there's nothing to draw on.
You want that inspiration. I believe a lot of artists draw inspiration from nature, and I think that's always been true. I mean, and, you know, that sounds like a cheesy thing to say. It's like Captain Obvious, right? But I think we do need that, and I think people need, just whether they're artistic or not, you know, having a little bit of nature come into your world is a wonderful thing. And so I'm hoping that, like, I worry about the elderly and disabled people a lot, you know, and hoping that, you know, especially if they live alone, I'm hoping that, you know, people are able to at least step outside their front doors and you know, get a little bit of outside, because it's just if I go down the rabbit hole of thinking about all the people I worry about, let's not go there. Let's just move right on.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.